All evidence of this Eden period was completely obliterated by a great cataclysm, which also mutated our DNA, eventually bringing about the current intellectual age. You can learn more about this from the 55th gene key. What appears to be superficiality is really an adjustment in the way our awareness functions. The evolutionary phase that is now coming to an end is the superficial age, when mankind appears to have moved away from nature. But this is not really the case. Despite the fact that we are now dominated by an awareness that cannot exist in the present moment, we still live in the present moment whether we like it or not. Our current mental equipment simply prevents us from feeling one with life in the way that we once did. Evolution requires us to be superficial in order that we can complete this mental phase. However, it has led to a basic estrangement from the source of life itself, and this is reflected in our longing to return to that source. All our scientific and religious cravings have arisen due to the inability of consciousness to move beyond the human brain. Seen in this light, one can see how all the 64 shadows have come about because of this single conundrum. The mind prevents us from feeling one with life. When superficiality is translated into action, it becomes blind activity just for the sake of activity. The only time you are really one with life at the shadow frequency is when you are busy, even though by its very nature this busyness lacks real presence. Rather, it is an absence of awareness. This makes human beings seem similar to insects. We are programmed to be incredibly busy on an individual level. However, unlike certain insect societies, we do not yet operate as a collective. The programming partner of the 20th shadow is the 34th shadow of force, which is about self-absorption. When your activity lacks awareness, it becomes a destructive force that plays havoc with your environment. These two shadows manifest activity, or lack of activity, in response to the situations created by your mind. Only when the mind has been overridden by our future awareness, rooted in the solar plexus, can consciousness begin to manifest activity that no longer meets resistance. This is what the Buddha referred to as right action. Right action occurs when the frequency of your DNA lifts you out of the shadow states, at which point all your activity emerges naturally and harmoniously. Only in this final phase of our evolution will mankind begin to imitate the more complex insect societies, such as ants or bees, as consciousness begins to breathe through every single individual, thus melding the collective into one. Repressive nature, absent. The introverted nature of the 20th shadow gives the impression of being totally absent. This is primarily reflected in a person's eyes, which can appear staring or distant. This expression of the 20th shadow can also be an intermittent theme rather than being permanent. The consciousness in such people is often frozen by an intense unconscious fear that temporarily displaces them. This withdrawing of consciousness from the body is actually a kind of mini-death. It can also be brought about through an intense shock. These are people in whom life sporadically switches on and off according to the activity or inactivity in their minds. Reactive nature, hectic. In the reactive nature, the mind will do the opposite to the repressed nature. Instead of numbing the fear, this kind of nature will immediately translate it into activity. Thus, these people are ceaselessly on the move, unable to stop in their hectic self-absorption. Again, this is a state that is extremely widespread among human populations due to the deep connection between this shadow and the way in which our mind translates it into activity. The world in which we live is increasingly hectic because our human programming makes it so. As new awareness begins to dawn in human beings, an enormous amount of human activity will simply cease, since it emerges as a byproduct of the mind's restlessness. The 20th gift, self-assurance, divine relaxation. The gift of self-assurance comes into being when a human being first learns to let go of their thinking as the authority in making decisions. With self-assurance must come a profound surrender to life in every moment. As you begin to accept that life has its own plans and flow, you also begin to stop interfering with the process at a mental level. No technique can lead to this gift. Only life itself can show you how to let go. This gift is, in fact, the precursor to a higher state of spiritual awareness. You begin to discover that decisions in life simply get made, so there is really no point in agonizing over them. Decisions at a higher level of frequency are made in the moment rather than being premeditated. Your mind may decide on a certain course of action, but when the decision is actually made at the gift frequency, it emerges instantly and clearly through the entirety of your being. The 20th gift is the foundation of a happy life and is part of the genetic family known as the Ring of Life and Death. The Ring of Life and Death can actually teach us how to create the perfect environment for children to grow into happy, healthy, and enlightened adults. For a child to grow up truly self-assured, you need to model altruism, 27, while remaining detached, 42, and encourage invention, 24, innovation, 3, and above all, simplicity, 23. These five keys can become the foundation of a complete life system for parents, and contemplation on them can lead to a profound sense of freedom for both children and parents. Self-assurance is directly analogous to individual strength through its programming partner, the 34th gift. Every child has their own natural strength that emerges organically as they develop, as long as they are given the right loving environment through their parents and peers. The ultimate loving environment for a child is to be surrounded by self-assured adults. The field of openness, integrity, and relaxation created by a large family or community of adults manifesting right action is the perfect natural educational base for children. Self-assurance marks the end of the human tendency to worry about life. It also carries a certain sense of humor within it, although this is really an inner sense of humor, or a sense of lightness about life. At this level of frequency, you begin to have the faintest inkling that you may exist at a higher level than you know. You also begin to have the feeling that some higher presence is actually looking after you. Human beings like to anthropomorphize this feeling in a whole host of ways, through spirit guides and angels, through contact with the souls of the departed, or as the Godhead itself watching over us. In its purest sense, this state of self-assurance is actually your own greater nature emerging. It is a sign that more consciousness is being allowed to incarnate into the physical vehicle. Ironically, the more you anthropomorphize this feeling, the less it grows, because that is taking it back into the realm of the mind, where it truly doesn't belong. What is occurring at this gift level is that you are beginning to experiment with humanity's future instrument of awareness, the solar plexus system. Within the human body are contained the genetic instructions for a higher mutation in the functioning of our solar plexus system. Once an individual mutation of this kind has been triggered, it is triggered by the 55th gene key, a whole new level of awareness functioning becomes available to you. The 20th gift prepares the ground for this higher mutation and we will see its full manifestation in the 20th Siddhi. Your self-assurance is directly equivalent to your ability to escape being a victim of your mind. As you begin to learn this knack, you experience the subtle expansion of a meditative awareness, an ability to witness your mind without being caught up in it. This sense of spaciousness continues to grow within, and as you let go more deeply into it, it seems as though you are in the grip of another force outside yourself. The byproduct of this expansion is the quality of self-assurance, the continual feeling that everything is going to be all right. At this stage, a kind of relief dawns. You no longer have to try and control life. On the contrary, you now allow life to move you. What actually occurs with this gift is that the awareness within your solar plexus begins to take over from your mind. In China and Japan, there has always been a profound understanding based upon the solar plexus center, which is known in the Orient as the Hara or Yantian. The practitioners of the ancient yogic systems discovered this latent awareness within the Hara and based their entire philosophy around it, from medicine to the martial arts. The awareness that emanates from the solar plexus center is based upon surrender. In this sense, it is about tapping a very powerful universal feminine power. It may come as a shock to some that the power of self-assurance is based upon surrender rather than assertion. Self-assurance is far more than simple confidence, which can be built up through assertion or technique. The 20th gift can only be cultivated through trust, patience, and surrender, none of which are techniques. As such, self-assurance is based upon a philosophy of allowing everything to come to you rather than going out and chasing life down. It is because of this divine laziness that the 20th gift is the real foundation for inner relaxedness. The 20th Siddhi, Presence, the Sacred Octave. The 20th Siddhi is so unique that there is very little that can be said about it. Mythically, it is represented by the notion of the breath of God or the word of God. Presence is the underlying nature of being. In fact, the word presence does not do this Siddhi justice. It would actually be truer to name this Siddhi the presence, since the use of the definite article gives us the distinct impression that this is a state of consciousness that has nothing to do with any individual. It is the manifestation of the presence of the divine through a human instrument. Whenever a human being attains the Siddhic state, he or she is suffused with the presence. Pure consciousness floods their being, silencing the mental activity and drawing the person into the eternal present moment. When this occurs, the whole world created by the human mind is suddenly seen as utterly superficial. The smallest thing, such as a leaf or stone, is understood to have more life within it than all the greatest ideas of man. The presence is experienced as everywhere and inherent in everything, and is where we get the term omnipresence. In the state of presence, the individual is no more. You may find yourself sitting in the same spot for 3 days, and it seems as though not a single second has passed. Time dissolves into the background consciousness of all being. When you experience a brief moment of déjà vu, you are tasting the purity of a moment of true presence in which the present moment becomes a funnel for both the past and the future, momentarily intensifying and transcending them. The presence is also extraordinary in that it can be felt by anyone. When this Siddhi has flowered in a person, it actually creates a subtle atmosphere around itself, a kind of silent ease that pervades the aura of the person and radiates out to all creation. One of the great effects of being in the presence is the deepening of your breath. The presence links all human beings as one through the breath. Therefore, people immersed in the atmosphere of presence begin to breathe as one entity. The true siddhic state is one of complete relaxation. As you release deeper and deeper levels of tension, the high frequencies of the presence force you to sigh until your physical body comes into a state of great ease. The presence can also be seen as an intense softness in a person's gaze. To a person immersed in the presence, absolutely nothing matters. Thoughts are irrelevant and suffering no longer exists because the mind has been cut at the root. There is nothing to say that is not superficial. Only silence can even approach the truth. We can see through the ring of life and death, the codon ring associated with this gene key, that the presence is also the same quintessence sought by generations of seekers over millennia, the 23rd gene key. It also has a direct relationship to the experiences of silence, 24, selflessness, 27, innocence, 3, and celebration, 42. The 20th siddhi relates to the mystical nature of the octave, the transcendent note that begins, ends, and links together all vibrations throughout the universe in which we live. It is also the eighth color, the pure white containing the other seven colors, and that which also brings us back to the number zero, the blackness out of which all form arises. Above all, it is the sacred breath that unites the realms of both light and sound, allowing us to enter completely into consciousness as pure existence. The 20th siddhi also relates to the eighth plane of reality, the true ground of our divinity, known as the logoic plane. As consciousness expands through each of the seven layers or sheaths that surround the human being, see the 22nd gene key for a full description of each, the eternal cosmic ocean of consciousness in which we swim, the body of the Logos, or Divine Word, is finally revealed in all its glory. This Logoic sphere, the eighth transcendent plane, is beyond humanity, beyond words, and beyond form. The seven sacred bodies of humanity. 1. Physical. 2. Astral. 3. Mental. 4. Causal. 5. Buddhic. 6. Atmic. 7. Monadic. 8. Logoic. Once the presence opens inside someone, it is difficult for them to maintain a role in the world because there is nothing of any importance to them in the world outside. Such people no longer fit into society. Neither can they explain their reality to anyone else. All they can do is go on existing, allowing life to bring them the experiences it brings, even though it is all simply uninteresting to them. The presence sweeps everything before it, ending desire, sex, thought, even feeling. These people no longer feel anything but the presence itself. Even the deepest human genetic programs, the urge to eat and survive, are swallowed up in the majesty of the presence. Some people who have entered this state actually have to be fed in order to stay alive. However, in most people, the human habits remain and continue to function, even though they are really understood as non-essential to the continuation of consciousness. In the world of the future, the 20th siddhi will eventually absorb humanity. When it does, we will enter an eternal world, a world in which mind will no longer have any role other than to help us communicate. Through the mutation that takes place in the solar plexus, the 20th siddhi will finally allow humanity to be at ease with our world. In Eastern cultures, The primal sound at the heart of the world is known through the symbol of the Omkar, whose sound is Om. When the 20th city dawns, this is the sound that is heard, a soundless sound connecting all life, suffusing all creation, and bringing everything back into its pure existential reality. 21st Gene Key. A Noble Life. Programming Partner, 48th Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Humanity. 10, 17, 21, 25, 38, 51. Physiology, lungs. Amino acid, arginine. The 21st Shadow, control. The demise of hierarchy. One of the major issues to plague human beings and the cause of enormous conflict and violation of basic human rights is the issue of control. All control is rooted entirely in a single theme, territory. As we shall see, there are various different ways in which we can understand territory. The first territory is yourself. The physical, emotional, and intellectual confines of your own being and the boundary of your aura. If we extend that theme, you might view your relationships and families as another form of territory. In turn, your home and land is obviously a further extension of your family territory. Then there is your entire community or race, the outer territory of which is made up of your nation. Finally, there is the earth itself, which forms the current territory of all human beings. This constitutes a great deal of territory, which taken together creates the potential for a lot of human conflict rooted in control. Another way of looking at territory is to view your life as territory and the events of your life as the aspects within that territory that you wish to control. The 21st shadow certainly views life like this, and it does so at a deep genetic and unconscious level. Because humanity still operates collectively at the shadow frequency, we are used to dividing life up into millions of individual territories and trying to control them. When you consider that we are really a single unified organism, this seems rather a ridiculous way to behave. But it is nonetheless how the world works. At the shadow frequency, everyone is a victim. The controllers are victims of their need to remain in control, and the controlled are the victims of the controllers. Wherever you find the 21st shadow, you will find someone either too weak to control anything at all, or someone with a deep-seated need to control everything in their environment. In the past, control was about resources and food depended on maintaining and defending your territory. In the modern world, however, the battlefield has changed even though the genetic dynamic has not. Today, the battleground is money, and this 21st shadow has much to do with power and money. At the shadow frequency, if you have money, it appears that you also have power. However, at the gift level and beyond, we shall see that true power has nothing to do with money. Control is based on tightness and fear. It creates tension and boundaries throughout all our environments. Even more crucially, it creates the notion of hierarchy because there are those who control and those who are controlled. In a contorted kind of way, this relationship between the controllers and the controlled can actually work quite well. It is the foundation of the idea of classes and castes, and in its ideal form, it became the responsibility of the upper classes to feed and protect the lower classes. This has been the way most societies on our planet have functioned for millennia, and the greater part of the world still operates in this old way. It is the basis of our notion of royalty and ancestral lineages in families. It is only fairly recently that these archaic systems have really been questioned and are gradually losing their control and power. One of the manifestations of this decline of hierarchical control has been the rise of the middle class in the Western world. However, the new rise of the middle classes does not offer a great deal more than the old system. It creates just as many problems. Families are now more cut off from each other than ever, and we have a world of every family for itself. The urge to control has simply shifted venues. Control now operates most powerfully through capitalism. The issue of control is the issue of patriarchy. Patriarchal forms of government are the bedrock of our society, from politics to education to business. Most of those who are in control are only interested in power and money, and those who are not interested in power or money are generally too submissive to take any action. Apart from a few valiant individuals with true vision, the positions of true power on our planet are filled by those following personal agendas. The 21st shadow makes it seem as though you simply cannot defeat the patriarchal system, so most people's true visions for a better world are choked before they are given a chance. However, the first ripples of a new frequency are emerging in the world. As those with the 21st gift find positions of power, the balance will begin to shift, because the higher frequencies of this gene key are not interested in power or money or control, despite having a gift for all three. They are really interested in serving community. Even more than this, they have the courage to enact their visions, and that will make all the difference. There are many misunderstandings about the issue of control and power. There will always be people who are naturally gifted leaders, but at the higher frequencies they see leadership as service, which means that those who serve with them or under them are never really under them, rather they are working alongside them. The problem with the old system is not the model, but the frequency of the people in the model. The moment a system has everyone in exactly the right place, it no longer is patriarchal or matriarchal. It actually becomes synarchical. Synarchy is a model in which all people are equal, but some still have more authority than others. This authority, however, is based upon frequency rather than fear. The reason that synarchy succeeds where hierarchy cannot is that every person in a synarchy is fulfilled by their role, regardless of how much or how little responsibility it carries. For a fuller description of such a model, you can listen to the 44th Gene Key. The ultimate root of territorial divisions across our planet is distrust in life itself. This is the real human disease. Territory and control through power and money are simply the manifestations of this disease. The programming partner of the 21st shadow is the 48th shadow of inadequacy, which underpins all this fear of losing control of your territory. We simply do not yet know that we are a single entity. When the time comes that we see our true nature as a collective holistic human family, the need to control life will cease. Ultimately, the only ones who will be given positions of control will be those who have given up being in control. Those people are our future leaders, in business, in government, and at all levels of human society. Those of us who continue to try and hold tight control over our territories and others' lives will eventually find that we are fighting only ourselves. Repressive nature. Submissive. All repressive natures are based upon the denial of personal power. Through the 21st shadow, this shows up as submission. These people let others remain in control without asserting their own authority. Added to this, the repressive nature has a tendency to defer control to life itself therefore not assuming responsibility for the direction in which it takes them. There is a fine line between surrendering to what life brings and influencing the path of one's own destiny. These people unconsciously blame life for whatever happens to them, closing down the center of their willpower. The true nature of the 21st gift is to control and manage situations, but the submissive side of this shadow is afraid of being in control, since it means they alone are accountable for their actions and potential success or failure. These people would rather not participate in life at all. They often masquerade as being laid back. However, the reality is that such people are hiding from their true responsibility. Reactive nature, controlling. The other side of the 21st shadow is the acute need for control. These are the people we sometimes label as control freaks. Their anger is so tightly coiled that they cannot allow any part of their environment to escape their control. As the repressed nature is loose, so the reactive nature is tight. These people cannot handle change unless they have instigated it. If others transgress the confines of their deeply controlled lives, all their pent-up tension and anger is likely to be detonated. Such a nature strives to maintain control over others through hierarchical dominance or by taking the moral high ground. Unfortunately, such sustained insistence on control takes a great toll on your body and, in particular, on your heart. These are the kind of people who can only be humbled by a deep physical or emotional crisis, and because of their inability to let go, they often meet such crises in life. The 21st gift, authority. The authority of submission. The gift of authority is a gift that is innate. If you have the 21st gift in your hologenetic profile, and you speak and act from your heart, you will inspire loyalty in others wherever you go. Authority is the true vibration of this 21st gene key when it has found that delicate balance between allowing things to go their own way and assuming control of the way things are going. Authority is a frequency that is determined by intent. If you assert authority through the hierarchical base of the 21st shadow, then you rule through control and fear, which never inspires true loyalty. In such cases, the people around you may appear loyal, but given the right circumstances, they will quickly and easily transfer their loyalties elsewhere. True loyalty can only be maintained when the frequency of love outweighs the frequency of fear. Such people are given authority by others, and this is the real meaning of authority. Authority cannot be asserted through will. It can only be afforded through trust. Authority is a phenomenon within the auric field that takes place between one individual and another, or between an individual and a group. True authority unites rather than controls. This can be understood well by the archetype of the master and the servant, which is the bedrock of our societies. Some of the deepest relationships are formed between one person in a position of authority and another in a position that appears to be submissive. However, if both parties in such relationships are as deeply in service as each other, then their relationship transcends its social stereotype of dominance and submission. In order for such relationships to work, both parties must be equally in service to the other. If this is the case, the relationship can be mutually beneficial and potentially very powerful. This relationship between authority and submission is the relationship between yin and yang, between the male and female energies throughout our universe. The male polarity represents authority, and the female represents the subject or servant of that authority. Despite the fact that this relationship has established itself culturally across most human societies, it has little to do with men and women. Women can equally be the authority and men the servants. It is just the difference between matriarchy and patriarchy, but neither works unless the intent at the root of the relationship is pure. If the female side is too submissive, then the male side will be too controlling, and vice versa. Any imbalance in this kind of relationship is a manifestation of the shadow aspect of this 21st gene key. There can be no need for power or resentment from either side. This balancing of the archetypes is a hallmark of the higher frequency of the 21st gift. You will find that all relationships play out this same drama. It is the core relationship between parent and child, husband and wife, employer and employee. The beauty and magic of the 21st gift occurs when both sides of the relationship surrender to each other. When the authority becomes the servant and the servant becomes the authority, then the relationship really hums with power. On the outer plane, such a relationship may appear to be one-sided, but on the inner plane, the balance of power is reversed. Only when this happens does the real meaning of authority become clear. In large groups, communities, companies, and even armies, if the authority figure represents and connects with all their subordinates, they will inspire the kind of loyalty that strongly binds the group. This kind of leadership is very different from that of the 7th or 31st gene keys, which is based upon the ability to completely let go of all control and trust the collective spirit of the group to make its own decisions. In the case of the 21st gift, a pact is made that one person will become the decision-maker for the group, and this person is thus responsible for the entire group. There are many different styles of leadership within the human genetic matrix. Whereas the 31st gift represents the voice of the group and the 7th gift represents the heart of the group, the 21st gift represents the will of the group. Thus, these people are designed to handle more responsibility than other human beings, since their will directly affects all those in submission to them. The key lies in the willingness of those in submission to be represented by the one who is chosen to be the authority. As has been shown, when these relationships work at a high enough frequency, the one in authority simply becomes the conduit of the will of his or her followers. When that happens, transcendence occurs. Such relationships are founded upon kinship rather than kingship. The authority figures, as we shall see at the very highest frequencies, must remain continually in communion with those below them in the hierarchy. Only when this merging and transcending of cultural stereotypes occurs can the highest spirit incarnate into a human group. This 21st gene key can be further understood when seen in the context of its wider genetic family or codon ring. As part of the ring of humanity, it forms an integral aspect of all human wounding. The sacred wound at the heart of humanity and the reason for all of our suffering can be unlocked by the gene keys that make up the ring of humanity. Hierarchy is one of the oldest human wounds, and like each aspect of our suffering, it can only be healed by love. To activate the higher frequencies within this gene key, you must have great courage. It takes a powerful human being to surrender completely to another, whether through authority or submission. The fact is that surrender makes authority submissive and submission authoritative, which is precisely what heals the wound and brings an end to hierarchy and control. The 21st Siddhi, Valor, the New Age of Chivalry. In the 21st gift, we saw that true authority based on service inspires loyalty. At the highest level of consciousness, this coupling of love and power gives way to a great and peerless ideal, the ideal of valor. We tend to associate the word valor with courage, particularly the courage shown by soldiers during battle. Although there is some truth to this image, the use of the word valor as a siddhic aspect of consciousness goes far beyond the idea of courage in the face of adversity. Valor is the highest frequency of the 21st gene key. It is a living energy field released into the world through a particular chemical signature within your genetics. Valor is the byproduct of another potent word, nobility. To understand nobility is to dive into the realm of human destiny. In the social history of humanity and in our collective unconscious, there has persisted an image of a royal human being, the king or queen, the emperor or empress, the symbol of the highest potential within man and woman. Nobility is the quality usually associated with royalty or genetic pedigree, although down through the ages, our human attempts to bestow such projections on certain personages has usually been shown severely wanting. Nobility, we have discovered, has little to do with breeding and much more to do with character. Indeed, most of our heroic myths center on this notion of human nobility and valor. Valor, then, can be understood as nobility in action. It contains virtue, wisdom, love, courage, and above all, sacrifice. A truly valorous deed is an act of absolute self-surrender in which you lay your entire being on the line for a higher ideal. In our history books, this may have been recorded as dying for king and country, but in the language of the Siddhis, it is really about dying into a divine ideal. At the shadow level, the need to control fosters fear and reaction in others. At the gift level, authority inspires loyalty. At the siddhic level, valor invokes communion. There is a deep genetic connection between the 45th siddhi of communion and the 21st siddhi of valor. Communion is about merging your individual being into a higher collective being, and this is precisely what happens through the frequency of valor. Valor need not even act. It is a vibration of such intensity that it makes the hearts of others weep. It is the recognition of true nobility in another and the realization that the other is your own mirror. As an aspect of the ring of humanity, we see that all human beings have this higher recognition as their final destiny. No matter who you are or what kind of life you lead, at certain points in your life you are given the opportunity to act with valor. These moments are mythic moments, and the script of your future life hinges upon them. To act with valor is to enter a higher world. Valor is the first great manifestation of the breakdown of the resistance between the opposite poles within relationships. It is the bowing of one being to the nobility within another. Mystically speaking, it is represented by the fourth initiation of matrimony, see the 22nd gene key, in which the quality of valor actually courts annihilation through its self-sacrifice to another being. It is the absolute surrender of control into your hierarchical role. This means that socially, you surrender to your position, and mystically, you surrender to your karma. Valor is the absolute courage and love of seeing the divine reflection within the face of another, no matter how unpleasant that other may appear to be. As an archetype, valor signifies the ending of all karma, even though the states preceding it often carry a great deal of karma. Valor must be forged on the anvil of life. You have to realize that no matter how muddy the waters you find yourself in, your pure nature can never be soiled. If the 21st gene key is a part of your personal hologenic profile, the chances are you will need to get your hands dirty before you can understand this paradox. To be a master, that is, a being who has attained realization through this city, you must lead by example. You have to know the absolute horrors of living within the most tightly controlled hierarchical situations. You have to understand the human need for control and the depths of your own fear of losing control. You have to be tested by the forces that will not relinquish control, and you have to continually be subjected to external controls. Once you see that no external form of control can rob you of your true nobility, this city of valor will finally dawn deep inside your DNA. The being that has attained realization through this city never feels like an authority figure, even though they may be. These rare people will commune with you as a friend, despite the exquisite fragrance of their state of consciousness. It is this very humbling quality within the city of valor that creates such deep levels of human communion. Even though the 21st city may be incredibly humble and friendly, it also packs a serious punch when threatened by the forces of fear. This is the energy field of true knighthood, symbolized by the courageous and chivalrous acts of all great heroes and heroines. These forces will fight for the highest of ideals and hold that ideal for all those who follow them. Those with this city will gladly die for, and as an example of, the highest ideal, the ideal of communion between all beings. The lives of such people become myths, often because of the sacrificial nature of their deaths. Even so, awakening through this city does not obviously foreshadow such a death. It is simply symbolic of the highest expression of this 21st gene key. With the advent of the 55th gene key and its reawakening of the spirit of romance within humanity, this 21st city is actually ushering in a new myth and a new age of chivalry. The essence of valor is to be found in the symbol of the male pole surrendering to the female pole. The programming partner of the 21st city is the 48th city of wisdom, which is one of the great archetypes of the divine feminine. Valor, therefore, represents the surrender of control, symbolized by man, to trust, symbolized by woman. This surrender results in the absolute annihilation of the male force by the female force, an ancient mythic enactment contained in many ancient creation myths. This surrender of the male into the female creates a reversal of roles and poles, and thus the communion is fulfilled. Ironically, it is through this divine coupling that the male force is truly empowered through its opposite. In other words, the male force is knighted and empowered only through its surrender to the female. It is important to understand that this imagery is an internal truth rather than a literal representation of man and woman. The power of valor could thus be summarized as the courage and love that must be found within the lower self to die into the unknown world of the higher self. 22nd Gene Key. Grace under pressure. Programming partner, 47th Gene Key. Codon ring, the ring of divinity. 22, 36, 37, 63. Physiology, solar plexus, cranial ganglia. Amino acid, proline. Introduction to the 22nd Gene Key. The sweetness of suffering. The 64 gene keys represent the seeds of a brand new synthesis coming into the world. It is important to clarify here that it is not the knowledge of the gene keys themselves that is new, but their revelation together as a complete matrix of the human evolutionary program. Each gene key is a portal to an encyclopedia of timeless knowledge and wisdom. Deep contemplation and meditation on the gene keys will open up a new world to you. There is no question that cannot be answered by them, since all the answers are inside you. Furthermore, as you enter the higher frequencies of the gene keys, the questions themselves begin to drop away, and the higher states reveal themselves from within your very own DNA. At this stage in your evolution, the knowledge itself ceases to hold any real interest, and you see it as nothing more than a bridge that you can now discard. This is reflected in the Buddha's own timeless words. My teaching is a raft whereon men may reach the far shore. The sad fact is that so many mistake the raft for the shore. The 22nd gene key is special within the overall matrix of the 64 gene keys, containing a highly specific teaching and a powerful transmission. The transmission of this consciousness alone can alter the way in which your DNA operates. In many ways, the 22nd gene key is a sister transmission to the 55th gene key, and between the two of them, a great mystery lies hidden. Just as the 55th gene key describes the process of awakening as a genetic evolutionary process rising up within your body, the 22nd gene key describes the process of awakening as the direct intervention of divinity coming down into your body. Thus, it is through these two gene keys that the forces of evolution and involution finally come together. As you enter the field of the 22nd gene key, you are involving yourself in a magical process of invocation, in which you directly invite a higher presence into your life. In this sense, the 22nd gene key needs to be approached in a prayerful and reverent manner, and in the spirit of nakedness. There is a great deal of information synthesized here. Let it descend into your DNA, and rather than attempting to grasp it with your mind, simply appreciate what an awesome transmission it holds. The subject of the 22nd gene key is the true meaning of suffering. As you begin to contemplate the suffering in your own life, you will perhaps come to see what an incredible blessing it holds. This simple and sweet realization can and will transform your life. Welcome to the embrace of the Great Mother. The 22nd Shadow, Dishonor, the Akashic Ocean. As we have already heard, the 22nd gene key is very special. There is no getting around this statement. Written into the evolutionary script are certain anomalies and divine cosmic surprises. In this respect, there is no other gene key to rival the 22nd. It is what makes the mythic drama of life so compelling. All great drama has but one pervasive universal theme, that of redemption. Whether or not a drama ends with redemption, it is always there as a longing inside our human hearts. Whenever we watch or hear a film or story, if there is no redemption at the end, our hearts will feel cheated. Our minds may appreciate the art, but without a sense of atonement, there is the sense that a great truth has been misrepresented. The 22nd gene key is about the truth of redemption. To those of a strong intellectual bias, it will inevitably seem fantastic or romantic, since it concerns the direct intervention of the divine in the ordinary world. The world that most of us see is not all that exists. We mostly live within very defined and closed circuit parameters. Human beings generally have no notion of the great cosmic laws that exist behind the world of form. One of the greatest of these is the law of divine memory. This law states that all thoughts, feelings, and acts are recorded everywhere within the body of the universe. Science now shows that we live in a vast information field of subatomic particles, some of which are so tiny that they actually pass through matter. This ocean of consciousness exists in many dimensions, and it responds to thoughts, acts, feelings, words, and even intentions. It is a vast quantum field that acts like a great memory bank, holding and recording every impression ever made. In the language of the ancients, it is often referred to as the Akashic Record. The 22nd gene key is deeply connected to this law of divine memory. It is like a massive receiving dish that responds to the frequencies, sounds, and vibrations that it hears, and it hears everything. Like a cosmic aeolian wind harp, reception is determined by the way in which the strings are tuned. In the case of the 22nd shadow, the strings of your DNA are twisted out of harmony, and your behavior and experience in the world is similarly misshapen. This is the shadow of dishonor. It only exists in the world because most human beings do not realize that all their acts are recorded. We do not realize that every act, thought, or feeling creates a ripple in the Akashic Ocean, and that each ripple must and will one day return to its point of origin. The 22nd shadow is one of the most powerful emotional shadow gene keys in the human genome. It is highly passionate and sexual, with a huge emotional range encompassing extreme highs of sweetness and extreme lows of violence. Because of its situation in the genome, it is directly or indirectly responsible for most of the relationship problems on our planet. However, before we journey any further into this profound gene key, it should be borne in mind that negative emotions in and of themselves are a natural part of the world in its current state. If they can be usefully transformed or sublimated into art, creativity, or service, their power is awesome. It is a matter of how much responsibility you can take for your own feelings. However, most people in the world today are utterly ruled by their emotions, and whenever you project negative emotional power at another being, you dishonor both yourself and the other person. Many so-called spiritual teachings suggest that you should subdue your negative emotional states in favor of sweeter, more virtuous frequencies. In fact, this is the basis of most of the great religions. But to subdue any state or feeling is to dishonor and distrust that feeling, which prevents acceptance. From the point of view of the 22nd gene key, every feeling, mood, or thought you have is put there directly by God for you to trust in it. Trusting this process is obviously not the same as acting it out. Trust is a powerful internal process that requires great courage. One of the tricks of the 22nd shadow is to con you into trying to change or fix your moods rather than allowing them to simply pass through your system naturally. The fact is that you cannot reach higher states of consciousness without first passing through your own suffering. This is the true purpose of the Akashic Field and of the 22nd gene key. They invite you to receive your own slice of suffering. If you do not take responsibility for your own thoughts, words, and deeds, the Akashic Field simply sends the same forces back towards you again and again. This is the foundation of another of the great universal laws, the Law of Karma, which we will explore in more depth soon. The Three Pure Ones. As we enter deeper into the transmission field of the 22nd gene key and its shadow frequency, we encounter three streams of teachings concerning the nature of suffering left by three great world teachers or avatars. These three beings are actually one single being, which divided into three fractal aspects over the course of human evolution. Even though these were individual people, or magi, it is more helpful to see them as three fractal transmissions of the same truth. The first is Hermes Trismegistus, whose legacy dates back to the age of Atlantis, and whose name, meaning thrice great, directly reflects